So,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
You can hear me now. Okay, that means everybody can hear me now, okay?
Okay, I guess we're on the air.
So, then. I guess we're on the air. I don't know,
There's Richard.
You hear anything?
I think we're starting to work now.
Okay, well, what I think we're going to do, see, this is the most fun kind of radio to listen to because you don't know what's going to happen next.
That's true.
And you don't know if people are going to lose their temper and start, you know, using profanity on the air and stuff like that. And you get to hear all kinds of neat stuff that you're not used to hearing. But I'm going to explain to people what they're hearing. They're hearing the radio station, KSCO, being commandeered away from the automation system because nobody wanted to work on Christmas Day. The radio station was programmed to automatically play Christmas music all day and all night and all day and all night tomorrow. And that would have just been sacrilege to not have the Saturday special, right?
That's right.
It would have been awful. And perspectives? I mean, to deprive our audience of perspectives? It's just unthinkable.
So what are we going to do today, then?
I have no idea.
No idea at all?
No, but the first thing that we should do is just play
the
music.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Okay, Richard, here's where you fade down the music a little bit. Good, thank you. That sounds great. Welcome, Silicon Valley and Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay Area, to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Merry Christmas to you, Christmas 2010. We've only got a week left in this year, and next year is going to be even better than this year. So stay with us for the next 3 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Nobody wants to work on Christmas, so the powers that be at your favorite radio station have ordained that all normal programming will be suspended in favor of Christmas music on Christmas Day. All programming except the Saturday special and perspectives. Of course, because it wouldn't be right to deprive our loyal audience of these two fine programs for any reason, let alone just because it's a holiday. So Perspectives Czar Tom Quinn and I will combine and co-host the programs with some fun, some off-the-wall stuff, and some serious discussion with you about how precious it is to be a free nation and how critical it is to recognize the dangers we face and to take action to avoid losing our freedoms. We hope you'll tune in and take part this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Deflect Adversity and Appreciate What We've Got Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Okay, after that big build-up, now what?
Well, let's decide what we're going to do. Tell people some of the ideas we've had.
All right.
Okay, yeah. So like two Santa Clauses today, instead of coming down the chimney, we're going to come out of the radio.
Right, and we're very curious if anybody's listening at all on Christmas Day. Is anybody listening at all? Just if anybody's listening at all, pick up the phone and call 479-1080. Just for the hell of it, okay? Just let us know you're listening or let us know that you're not listening. Wait a minute. If you're not listening, how would you know to call us to let us know that you're not listening? Wait a minute. Someone's calling. Someone's actually calling. Who is it?
Well, Merry Christmas.
Who is this?
My name is Nick.
Hi, Nick. How are you? Merry Christmas to you, too.
In St. Nicholas.
Can everybody hear Nick?
More calls.
Oh, my God. See, so there's more than one person listening. Okay, here. It's ringing. Who is this? Hello. You're on the air. Who's this? The dial tone is listening. That's a good thing. Okay. Who's this? Hello. Welcome. You're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, yeah, I'm listening.
Good. Why in the world are you listening? Don't you have a life?
I certainly do.
You should be celebrating Christmas with your friends and or relatives.
I am celebrating Christmas. I'm celebrating in yesterday by going to church, this morning getting up and relaxing, turning on my favorite radio station, and having a good time listening to it.
May I ask you a personal question?
Sure, go right ahead.
Why is it your favorite radio station?
Why is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Rush Limbaugh's on it.
Oh.
That's number one.
Yeah. So if
and
we got rid of Rush, if we got rid of Rush, don't mean to
No, like hell you did.
No, if we got rid of Rush, would you not listen to us because Rush is the only thing that's worth a damn on the station?
Frankly speaking, yeah, I think I would. I would.
What about Alex?
I would. I have to say I would.
This is terrible, Tom Quinn. What are we, chopped liver?
Well, wait. Caller, what's your name?
You guys aren't chopped liver, that's for sure.
Caller, what's your name?
My name? Vince Cordoni.
Vince, okay,
yes.
here's something very positive. What's the most wonderful thing about the United States?
The most wonderful thing about the United States?
Yes.
There's not just one. There are a dozen and one things about the United States.
Throw out a few.
There's no country like it. I was in the Marines, fought World War II, and what else can I say? Nah, this is the country. There's no what's the best about it.
What's the New Year's Eve resolution for us collectively to make it better next year?
For your station, you mean?
No, for the country, for you.
For the country?
Yeah.
To make it better next year?
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say it, but we can't change those that are in, I won't say it. But
go ahead.
Just throw out something positive.
No,
that's the whole point of today.
This is Christmas. Christmas.
Say something positive.
Then say something positive.
Well,
you can't think of anything
positive.
Oh, we can't think
of
anything.
What do we do? We save. We get jobs for people.
Good. That's a start.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
No question involved.
Yeah.
And you guys sound great. Don't let anybody knock you off.
Okay, well, we're going to go on for 3 full hours on this special edition of the Saturday Special / Perspectives.
Right.
So we're going to go right on until 1. Now, by the way, anybody who's calling in, because we're short-staffed and you know, the regular staff isn't here, we don't even know how to work the system, the phone system.
Yeah, well, thank God Richard's here.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, I don't know how to work it, and Richard is learning how to work it. But the message here is don't be concerned if you call 479-1080 and it just rings and rings and rings, or don't be concerned if you get the auto attendant, which is a nice-sounding recorded message.
You know, it's too bad. I didn't know you guys would be stuck like that.
Wow.
I would have gone ahead, taken a quick lesson or two in what to do with that radio station, run down there, help you out, at least for an hour, and
it's
after
true.
That,
well, that's
join
great.
My dinner again.
That would have been so nice. And you can train an ape to answer the telephones here at KSCO, but none of us know how to do that, so none of us would even know how to train anybody.
You're kidding. You can't answer the telephone?
Well, I'm answering it directly now is what I know how to do that.
Right.
I know how to. Someone else should call 479-1080, right? In fact, someone else has, and I think they've been waiting on the auto attendant. Who is this? Oh, my God. I think I hung up on the gentleman.
Hello, somebody else, sir.
Okay,
yeah.
Who's on? Oh, okay, who's on now? Everybody.
No, I'm still on.
No, okay, good. Who else is on?
Have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Who else
and
is on besides
you for your
Vince?
Station, and I love the mother.
You love my mother?
I think it's the one. Are you? Well, who am I speaking to?
You're talking to MZ. You do love my mother because everybody loves my mother.
Okay,
she's
so AAA1.
Because
she really,
she's so
really
bright
is.
And logical, and she minces no meat.
Not only that, she's fair.
I mean, minces no words.
1,000% fair.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I certainly do.
Okay.
And God bless her and keep her healthy for a long time to come.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. That's in God's hands, but we're all for it, you know?
Okay.
So, okay, thank you, Vince.
Thank you, Vince.
My pleasure indeed.
Okay, there goes Vince. Now, who else is on the air with us? Just say something.
This is Betty and Bonnie Doone.
Or is it Bonnie and Betty Doone?
Whatever.
Whatever
I don't
it is.
Care.
Yeah.
Thank you. You asked somebody to call if they were listening. I'm listening.
Thank you so much for calling, and thank you so much for listening. And how's everything in Bonnie Doon, California?
Oh, just fine. Just fine.
Do you think, how long have you lived in Bonnie Doon, California?
Since 1961.
And have you seen great changes in Bonnie Doon, California?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Do you think things will ever change so that there will be Walmarts in Bonnie Doon, California?
Probably not.
And
no.
McDonald's?
We're up in the mountains.
Yeah.
But when I came here in 1961, there was a little two-room schoolhouse that my children went to school in. And there was only one voting district. Now, I don't know. I think there's six or seven voting districts. There's houses everywhere. And the school has expanded several times. It's
you must
huge
have
now.
Known Howard Hazeltine, remember?
That's
Howard?
Right, that's right.
Yeah, and Howard was associated with this radio station. He called himself Bill Howard on the air.
I knew he was. I knew that.
Yeah. He used to do interviews for the contestants at the Miss California pageant at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium back in the days when we had the Miss California
right,
pageant.
Right, I remember that.
And then the people, there was a couple of activists who didn't like the way that women were treated. They didn't like the whole concept or idea of a beauty contest.
That was sad that left.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And they went. They demonstrated out in front of the
and they
Civic
drove
Auditorium.
Out of Santa Cruz. Yeah,
one woman
that.
Dressed up in clothing of meat of like steaks stitched
yeah, I remember
together.
That hanging. Beefsteaks on their waist or whatever.
And all over. It was like an evening gown of meat. And another one forced herself to vomit on the steps of the Civic Auditorium. And it just shocked and horrified everybody who liked the Miss California pageant, particularly its producers. And they said, we're out of this place.
Oh, you did ask about changes in Bonnie Doon. When we came here, it was a nice little rural community. Now it scares me to death. There are so many houses up here that I'm afraid that if we ever have a very close fire, people won't be able to get out to evacuate, and the fire people won't be able to get in because there's only one road.
You've got Alba Road, and you've got Felton Empire, and you've got
Empire Grade and Bonnie Doon Road, and that's about it.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
It worries me. We had to evacuate for the Martin Fire and for the, what was the other one, the Lockheed Fire.
Yeah.
Although they didn't come close to us, it's scary. And
right.
I have thought of this for years. I've also worried about the San Lorenzo Valley. There's only Highway 9 running up there, and that has built up, and there are so many people. I just see a disaster in the wings waiting when we have a bad fire.
Yeah.
So, Betty, what's some positive? What's a good resolution for our country or our county for this year?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Come up with something positive. Let's
well,
hear you shoot out some
if I were to tell you, it wouldn't be polite. I think we should get rid of all the liberals and put some conservatives in.
Well, I guess that's a thought.
Well, you think that would make a change?
That, in fact, that's quite a positive thought, wouldn't you say, Tom Quinn?
I'm at a point where I don't really believe in the Republicans or the Democrats. So.
Yeah, he's on a spot too.
I agree with you. They're all. I have no use for either of them.
Kucinich is a Democrat. He's pretty good, and Ron Paul's a Republican. He's pretty good. They both believe in the Constitution.
That's our problem. We have too many who do not.
Right. So to me,
and
I wouldn't say.
They're so busy making rules that are absolutely unconstitutional. We've come away from the Constitution that scares me.
Now, to me, that's a more precise statement than your earlier statement, the Constitution being the legal system of the country.
Yeah, well, I'm 84 years old. I went through World War II, and I can't believe the change in the culture of our country and over these years. I just can't believe it.
Well, it's not all bad. Some of it's good, but I am in agreement with you that the Constitution is extremely important.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so many things that are coming down the line now are not constitutional. Our Constitution tells us what the Congress may do.
I can hear you, Michael.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It tells us what the Constitution... the Constitution tells us what the Congress may do, and everything else is delegated to the states. Now tell me, how much of what is delegated to states has the Congress taken back for themselves?
No, that's very true. People aren't aware that the Constitution gave power to the federal government in the 10 square miles of the District of Columbia and nowhere else in the rest of the country.
That's right.
Unless it was specifically allowed by the states.
And now they're telling us we must buy insurance and this and that and something else. Oh, come on now.
Now, some judge declared that unconstitutional.
Thank God.
So that's in further litigation.
Thank God.
Well, you know what? Tom and I were hoping, Betty, and all of our audience, because this is Christmas and there are a lot of things to be thankful about,
right,
just like on Thanksgiving, that we would do our best to just try to steer the program in a positive direction. You know,
good for you.
It's tough. But listen, everybody who's not on the air with us right now, and you know, we're going to give Betty some more time here to think of something, you know, positive to be thankful for or whatever. You know, just rack your brains, even if it's really, really hard to think of something.
Oh, we've got a lot of things to be thankful for.
Okay, let's hear.
Good, let's hear some of them.
Well, I'm thankful for a nice, cozy, comfortable home.
There you go.
And my family. I've got some wonderful sons that have been so good to me.
So your home, your sons, your family, keep
going. Yeah, yeah. And we do still have some freedoms, you know, to do where we want, get in my car and go where I want to go or do what I want to do.
No, yeah, I think that sounds great.
We have
great.
A lot of things to be thankful for, absolutely. I don't
all
say
right.
We don't. I'm just scared that one by one some of these things are being taken away from us, that's all.
Well, that's why I asked you, what are things we're going to do to make it better instead of watching it get worse?
Well, write letters to your congressmen and your assemblymen and senators and so on, and I do.
Okay.
Well, I think ultimately you have to have faith in God. The universe
yeah.
has been running for trillions of years, and I'm sure it'll run for trillions more.
I think you just nailed something there. Too many of the people have gotten away from God. Weren't we started in the very beginning under God? And now we've driven God out of the schools. We're getting away from our
Hey, I got a question about the... For when I was in kindergarten and I first started, I was first trained, you know, memorized or, you know, asked to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
The under God part was already there. And it was some years later that I found out that the under God part of the Pledge of Allegiance
wasn't always there. When I went to school, it wasn't there.
Yeah. So who added it and why? And why do some people want it pulled out? And why do some other people want it dispensed with altogether, the whole pledge?
Can I say a small thing here, Michael?
Yeah.
One criticism I have of the Pledge of Allegiance is they just change one word. Instead of saying Pledge Allegiance to the flag, it should say Pledge Allegiance to the Constitution. Because the Constitution is really what's important, not the flag. The flag's just a symbol. The Constitution.
I had never thought of that.
You're absolutely right, Tom Quinn. You're a genius.
The Constitution's the logic of it all.
Absolutely, it is.
So
I think we've forgotten that our Constitution is there.
So do you think Ron Paul or someone, you know, that's the kind of a thing that there should be a change made to the pledge. We shouldn't get rid of the under God part, obviously, but
I totally agree
with one word should be changed to from flag to Constitution.
That'd be a big improvement.
It would be, but I think originally we felt the flag was a representative of our Constitution. The flag represented us all.
I'm personally opposed to using a piece of cloth as the end all and be all. When it's the logic behind the Constitution. The Constitution represents an evolution of common law going back into antiquity, into Anglo-Saxon common law, the Magna Carta, the Bill of Rights. There's a lot of thought in the Constitution.
You're right, but I never thought of it as a piece of cloth. I've always thought of it as representing our nation.
I think most people do, but the reason why I'm opposed to that is that you can wave a flag in front of people that are quite ignorant of the Constitution and get them to run off and go to wars that they shouldn't be involved in because they've never read the Constitution.
Well, that's probably true.
That's the problem with blind patriotism.
Well, you're probably right. Although during World War II, maybe it was blind patriotism, but I know we were determined we were going to win this war. And it was a completely different feeling in the nation than we have today. We sacrificed an awful lot of things during World War II.
That's true, but, you know, the blind patriotism can go too far. I mean, we have American troops in something like 170, 180 countries, and it's rather expensive, to say the least.
Well, that's true enough. But I do remember during World War II when we did without almost everything under the sun. No consumer products, no toasters or refrigerators, or we couldn't buy new cars. Gasoline was rationed, clothes were rationed. We had rationing, I tell you. We had to be careful when we bought our food because we had to have enough stamps to be able to buy it, as well as money.
But one of the things that we can do as children of God, and we have a right to create a more positive future, is to create a more positive future where we're not in rationing, in wars and all that. And that's one of the points of the show, is for people to collectively think, what is it we're going to do tomorrow? Or what is it we're going to do next year to make things better? Right?
I don't think too many of the population today realize what war is. Yes, the men are there. We do hear about it some in the news, but in the everyday life, we don't think about it because it doesn't affect our everyday life. And in World War II, it did affect everyday life, and it doesn't today.
Well, if Americans want the country to be stronger, they're going to have to take a lot of the money that's being spent on welfare and a lot of the money that's being spent on warfare and put it in infrastructure, because that increases the gross domestic product and makes
certainly
for more wealth
a lot
in the
of
future.
The handouts. I've thought for many years now we're heading the way of Rome, when too many people could take money out of the public treasury and not enough were putting it in, and it collapsed. And do you think we're headed that way?
Well, that's the reason why we're doing this show, to make sure we don't head that way.
And that's why
we're coming up with practical solutions, what we can do to make it better next year.
Who else has a practical solution? Give us a call at 479-1080.
Well, it's been fun talking with you.
Thank you, and Betty. You too.
Merry Christmas.
I wish
blessed.
You a very happy holidays. I know that MZ is not a Christian, but I love his mother. I love her comments. And I know you have holidays that are near.
You know,
near
the whole Judeo-Christian, the whole Judeo-Christian thing sort of unites us all. It really does. So we're all on the same page.
Well,
so,
I'm glad to hear that.
So Merry Christmas to you, Betty.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
479-1080 if you want to join this free-form program on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's Tom Quinn and MZ. We're going to be on the air not until noontime, but because this is sort of a joint Saturday special / Perspectives radio hour, it's a three-hour program, so we're going to be on the air right up until 1 p.m. Then I don't know whether Fox News comes on for 5 minutes and then we go back to the music, or we go back to the music right at 1 p.m. But I do see that someone is calling right now, so we will answer and say, hello, welcome to KSCO, you're on the air.
Happy birthday, Jesus, Carl Rove, and Ricky Henderson.
Hey, it sounds like Nick in Royal Oaks, am I right?
It is.
How
I had
doing?
A question.
How you doing, Nick?
In a comment. The question is, would you, just as this kind of jokingly with you, would you believe Jesus commandeered Christmas?
Commandeered?
So, well, that's a good
question, Michael, because people don't realize that Christmas is an overlay of thousands of years of earlier holidays going back to the winter.
I didn't know that.
The winter solstice.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And if you go back into the ancient Nordic religions and the ancient Germanic religions, they had like Father Christmas and Kris Kringle. And in Denmark, it was called, I can't even remember all the names, but there's been many, many holidays going back even pre-Christian.
It's our history in the United States, and we're under God. God is everything, the good, the bad, and we have Jesus to define the good through the truth. And when we cross the truth, we get our stakes in our hands when we have Jesus in our lives, so we kind of turn away from the lie and go with the truth. All the songs around here are about Jesus, but... Michael, do you know the last time I talked to you when it was just direct phone lines? I was banned, and you were at the opposite station, and because the station was being under white powder scare.
Well, that was a long time ago. That was in 06, I think.
When was it?
I think it was in 2006, if 2006. I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, in fact, I was sort of recalling that, talking with Billy, our chief technical person at the radio station and production manager. I was telling him, we were trying to figure out how to set this thing up so that the automation could be broken into, or that the automation could could allow this talk show.
Well, I was sneaking in.
Yeah, and I said, well, just pretend it was the white powder day, you know, that time when I happened to be up here at K, thank God, up here at KSCO North. I'd just been back from a vacation in Hawaii, and I could have gone to Santa Cruz or I could have come up here, and instead I came here because of what happened, where someone sent an envelope containing some unknown substance that could have been very dangerous. The hazmat teams came and ordered everybody out of the building and ordered us off the air. I said, wait a minute. You can't order us off the air.
I feel it was that guy that always had that goofy laugh.
I don't know about that.
Is a forensic observation, huh?
Because, you know, he gave you all cold showers, whoever was in there.
Well, all I remember is that I was able to keep the radio station on the air from up here, from KSCO North, and I didn't know whether it was going to be for 1 hour or 10 hours. It turned out to be 27 hours. Now, I didn't stay up that whole time because I was already pretty tired when I got off the plane, but what I did when I got tired of taking phone calls like this and just messing around in the sandbox, as it were, is I just got on the I plugged in the iPod. iPod is the most wonderful thing, and iPhones and all these MP3 players that are portable. You can go out and if you have the contents of MZ's iPod, it will keep you amused probably for the rest of your life because there's just so much stuff on there.
So what's the most bizarre thing you have?
I wanna walk you home.
Okay.
That was pretty good. That was good.
How about this? What's wrong with this here?
Well, anyway.
Oh, wait. But it's Nick, right?
Yeah, I think Australia's left out of Christmas.
Hey, Nick, what's up? And Nick, what's a good resolution for next year?
Keeping with the truth.
Give us some real positive
this
zinger.
This year, I've never been so close to happy birthday with Jesus other than Merry Christmas, because I really needed him this year.
So what's something the country needs to do collectively to make next year better?
Keep the truth alive. I mean, you know, we keep doing things that we have to put into secrecy. I mean, it's all up to debate.
That's a great old song, Michael. What's the name of that one?
Wonderful Summer by various artists.
I can remember that back in high school.
You know, we're just going to fill up the time with callers when they call. There's no one calling now at 479-1080. They're welcome to. But if you don't want to call, you can just listen to the contents of MZ's iPod or you and me, Tom Quinn, talking. Or I might read, or we'll definitely play Kay's commentary, you know, top of next hour. There's a brand new one, too. It's great. Idea what's coming up. Is this a good one to play? Herman Hermit, Silhouettes. Still there, Tom Quinn?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like this music?
Yeah, a lot of it's lovely.
Well, you know, Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits usually comes to the boardwalk every summer for one of those free concerts. He's an amazing showman. Yeah, he's just great.
Well, I was controlling, rang your bell. I was so at the inn, or else I'll meet down your door when two strangers who have been two silhouettes on the shade said to my shop, "You're on the wrong block." Rushed down to your house with wings on my feet. Loved you like I never loved you, my sweet. Vowed that you and I would be two silhouettes on the shade all of our days. Two silhouettes on the shade.
That was 1967 vintage. Okay, who's this who interrupted the music?
I don't know. Who is this song now?
Who is this? Someone who doesn't like this music because they put in a toilet flushing sound effect. Oh, what about Hotel California? Is this the long version from the Eagles? I think it is, Tom Quinn.
Okay.
We can talk over this if you want.
So what's going on New Year's? What are you going to do New Year's?
I don't know yet.
They always have some down to Coconut Grove.
Really?
We'll have to figure out some fun things to do New Year's. We also have to decide whether you want to do a show on New Year's.
I know. I don't know. It depends on how people react to this show, because if we do a show on New Year's, it'll probably be this kind of show.
Sort of similar.
Unless we do a karaoke show, which we can integrate into this.
If you come down to Santa Cruz, we'll practice on the karaoke first.
Hello? Phone was ringing, but I guess they hung up. You know, this is not too many people ever hear the long version of the Hotel California. This is it. This is really neat with the Eagles in concert. I don't know, in the early 70s or mid 70s.
He's got some great guitar legs.
Oh yeah. Crowd goes nuts because they recognize that they're playing their song.
Yeah.
Does this particular song make you happy, or is it sort of a little, you know, morose? I don't know.
Well, you know, a lot of these songs were sort of woven back down into my memory. It really brings back memories of when long ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe KSU should become a music station.
Well, I think you're doing a good job with KOMY.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about KOMY.
It has some good music.
Yeah, we need a little Pink Floyd. Here.
Okay. Well, what about this? This is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Who's this?
Sir Douglas Quintet. She's About a Blue.
Well, she was walking down the street, looking fine as she could be. Hey. Well, she was walking down the street, looking fine as she could be.
I happen to know that this song is called She's About a Mover. But if you had to depend on listening to the lyrics, it just sounds like da da da.
No, it's a great song. I haven't heard this one in a long time. What year was this?
Gee, you know, Tom Quinn, I know it's the 60s. You know, probably
you say it was Sir Douglas Quartet?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Now, all you need to do is if you want to hear the, if you want to know what the lyrics are of a song that you've always enjoyed but never quite understood the lyrics, guess what? All you need to do is go to Google and type in the name of the song and then just write lyrics afterwards, and a whole bunch of stuff will come up where you'll be able to see the lyrics. All right, who is it? Who's calling the radio station? Who is this? Hello, you're on the air. Who is it?
Oh, hello. This is Linda.
How you doing, Linda?
Doing great. How are you?
Merry
so
Christmas.
Nice of you to call on this Christmas.
Thank you.
2010. I would
like to express an opinion regarding the discussion about the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
Good.
I think it would be preferable not to have the words "under God," and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Those of us who believe in God, that's great for us. But it seems to me, thinking about it, it's as if maybe a person who believes in Judaism had to say "one nation under Jesus Christ," or a Christian, "one nation under Allah." Now, there have been many people who are atheists and who have made huge contributions and sacrifices for this country. The most recent example that comes to mind is Pat Tillman. He had a multimillion-dollar contract, as you probably know, as a football player. But after 9/11, he gave it up to join the military to defend his country. He was an atheist. And even after we went to war with Iraq, and he did not believe in that war, he, in his private journal, he writes this. This is all in the book, Where Men Win Glory.
Uh-huh.
But he, although he was given an opportunity through some strings being pulled, which he did not seek, to leave the military early, he refused. He said it would not be the honorable thing to do. So I'm just doing that as one example. There are many wonderful people, atheists, who have made huge contributions, and I don't think they should be required to say "one nation under God" when they don't believe in God.
Can I interject a comment here?
Please.
Most people aren't aware the Founding Fathers had a very broad concept of God. They weren't all Christian fundamentalists by any means, and they tried to set it up where they're referring to the concept of a higher creator or a higher energy field or a higher unity of the whole universe. They weren't necessarily in agreement as to what the exact nature of God was.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you read the writings of, say, Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson's a good place to start. Thomas Jefferson basically had a lot of very pointed criticisms of Christianity, for example.
Yes, he did. I've read, yes.
So, but you know, the thing I'd like to mention from a legal point of view is that the English common law system, which is the basis of the American legal system, was based that our rights come from God. And even if you're an agnostic or an atheist, there's certain legal advantages of having it in our legal system that way, because the point is that our rights are eternal and they can never be taken away by a government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's even if you're an agnostic, there's a certain legal advantage of going along with that, for the simple reason that the concept that our rights come from government is a problem. Either our rights come from God and they're inalienable and eternal, like God is, or they come from a government which is run by men and they can take your rights away, which is actually the nature of the whole modern dispute right now with our government.
Hmm. Well, those are interesting points. I think that a government could be founded as in discussions of various philosophers that... not necessarily deriving from God, but deriving from people coming together and making agreements. And I don't think that the one nation under God language or our belief, those of us who do believe in God, that has prevented many rights. I don't think that has prevented a lot of rights, unfortunately, from being taken away in the last decades, which you discussed at the beginning of this program, some of the rights that we're concerned about and we want to defend.
Right. Well, that's one of the points of the show, because even though the show is all fun and light and good music and good guests, but, you know, there's a serious point to it, too, that we have something wonderful here in this country, and what are we going to do to make it better next year?
Absolutely.
Hey, we lost someone.
Absolutely, I can agree with you on that. But
so throw out a couple of positive points. What do you what are some other things you think should be done?
Well, I've been focusing on this right now. That was the thought that I called to express, and I think I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Same to you.
We have another caller, I think. Who is this?
Hey, man, I'm on the air.
David. It's David Allen.
David Allen.
Hey, listen, somebody needs to get down there to the dungeon, turn the power back up.
What do you mean?
They're still running on 1K from last night. I can hardly hear you guys on the cord.
That's crazy.
Oh, okay, Richard B. Luther, is he in the room?
Yes, we have the famous engineer here, Richard
okay.
B. Luther.
Richard,
He's running to the transmitter right
okay,
just now.
Okay, good. Good.
Also,
thank you, Dave.
God, also, hey, when you call any of the calling numbers, except when somebody hangs up that instant, like I just did, it goes right to automated voicemail. You can't call in.
I know, I've been asking Billy, our the main guy here, how to turn off the damn auto attendant, and I know it's just one little button that needs to be pushed somewhere, but no one knows how to do it.
Better off calling Dave Michaels or something. I don't know.
Maybe Richard B. Luther II can figure it out, because he is a brilliant engineer who doesn't usually need instructions on it.
Anyways, you guys out there, outside of playing goofy music, what Tom's seeing there is absolutely true. Most what everybody believes is a farce.
Finally,
roll Christian the horse bucking.
Now, Dave, that's not a very positive
now,
thing to say.
Hey, Dave, yeah. You, like me, got interested in a lot of the conspiracies that riddle Washington, but you also, like me, decided that we need to come up with more positive.
Exactly.
So tell us, what do you think are the things that are positive that need to be done? Richard's back. Richard, did you get the transmitter going again? All right, folks,
okay.
We got full 10,000 watts.
Oh, my God. Now, what about all thousands of people who probably wanted to tune in and couldn't find us because they're sort of on the fringe area?
Well, this telephone thing's got to be fixed, too. That's important.
Yeah, because I called up even back numbers, MZ. I couldn't get it right to two rings automation. But
how
I had to wait
that?
Exactly when that lady hung up, then it came through.
So how can we fix that?
Okay, Billy is sending me a message.
Well,
a message from God right now, but it's truncated.
Is that from Billy G?
Yeah, Billy, yeah.
Hey, Dave, tell us some wonderful stuff.
Well, the thing is, first of all, let me back up. This planet, particularly our country, our nation, as it should be called, is under serious psychological spiritual warfare. Now, I don't mean religiously speaking. I'm talking about being browbeaten by fear-mongering and being browbeaten by misinformation about the economy, unemployment, or foreclosures, we're all going to die. It's all horse bunk. I don't know about you guys, but every time I drove by the mall in the last couple of weeks, not only here, but Salinas, was jam-packed. I never seen it like this. Right down to the high, right down to 41st Avenue, packed with cars and foul merchants. I know several people that work in merchant and retail. They said, "Man, we've been swamped."
I think so, people are getting tired of being depressed.
Yeah, and people should be getting tired of being told that we're all born sinners. We're all going to die. We're all losers. The economy. You don't deserve the right to think clearly, freely.
David,
it's all contrived mind control. We have to get above that with our minds.
Now, David, we've had other conversations. I've talked to Michael about this, too, where, you know, people forget that we're part of God in the sense that Jesus said we're children of God, and we can pull a wonderful creation out of spirit into matter.
That's right.
When an architect creates a house, people are aware that the house is slowly being built. But what they don't realize, that's a spiritual process,
too. It came all over his mind.
We can create a wonderful future. Everyone is listening. Everyone is listening. You have the same powers of God because you are part of God, although just on a smaller scale.
You can create
wonderful things in the future.
That's true. I have little debate arguments with my own family, which are very fundamentally slanted. I'm always the black sheep. But I have pastors and ministers, retired people in my family. I said, look in your own scriptures where Jesus said and Moses and everybody, know ye are God. That's blasphemy. You're not God. That's what the devil told you. I mean, see what I'm saying?
It says faith. Well, it depends how observant you are in reading the New Testament. It says faith is a mustard seed, shall move mountains. And that basically is one of the qualities of someone who has connection with source or connection with God, is that people can visualize a wonderful future, and miraculously that future is spirit turning into matter. You see the wonderful future, you're seeing it in the world of spirit, and it gradually materializes out as a wonderful future.
You know, as a prime example, a little mushroom will find a little spore. Microscopic spore will find a little crack in some asphalt or concrete and sprout and spawn. It grows. In a few days, it gets this 3 or 4 inch tall, soft, spongy mushroom that manages to bust open a hole through the asphalt. How? The asphalt's hard. You get trucks and cars driving on it.
Well, look at the seeds of most plants. You have these tiny, tiny seeds, and they produce a plant that's like a trillion times bigger than the seed, and that's miraculous.
Like the old adage, the old acorn grows a big oak tree, you know?
Yeah, right.
But see, right now, if anybody goes to, like, you know what iPod is? If you go to iPodBless.com, that's where I post all my programs from KSO, but I put a special one up there this week from the metaphysician Reverend Knight. Don't laugh. He talks about how your word becomes flesh. He quotes scriptures, all kinds of texts from all over the planet, where it talks about how your mind and your word create things. People can understand they're being constantly inundated by negative energy. It's like this whole planet is shrouded in a big cloud of black, dark energy. And as cracks of light try to break through, when people realize that our mind and our word create, then we have the power back.
Well, we're going to break through today. That's why you called in. We're going to transmit out tens of thousands of watts of pure light in all directions because people have the ability to create directly from God, directly from source. And you can create the most wonderful things right in front of you.
From the God in me, the God in you, everybody has God in them. If not, will you be as dead as a rock?
Well, a couple of details of this. Not only is we connected to source or connected to God or children of God have the ability to create a wonderful future, people don't think of the pragmatic duties of a monopolist. If you're a big capitalist, it's your job to convince everyone that there's no oil, there's no food, there's no housing,
no
clothing, because that's how they keep prices up.
That's right.
But if you get suckered into that, then you'll be in a constant state of poverty. It's just like the Federal Reserve. It's a privately owned company. They print paper money. If people think that paper money is wealth, they're missing the fact that real wealth comes from God. Real wealth comes from your ability as a child of God to create wealth.
Yep. And the whole stranglehold of fear, where people are in fear while we go to war because, well, we have that, quote, limited resource. Come on. Since when is God or nature or the universe running out of anything? Last time I checked, all the time throughout the whole universe. There's quasars, there's stars, galaxies, there's hundreds of millions of suns. There's life all the time being created, just popping into our universe. And this planet is full of oil, by the way. If this planet has gold, everything you ever need.
Hey, you sound like right now, you sound like Reverend Ike.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Boy, a lot of people laughed at him. That guy's Arab. Let me tell you what. The man came up. He died last year, unfortunately. Whether otherwise, I would have got it from my show. But the man came out in poverty. He was a black, poor black kid. When he was a kid, he didn't even have 11 cents for school lunch. When he died last year, he had 18 Rolls Royces, several mansions on each coast of the United States, coming up as a black man in a time of turbulence for black folk. Get my drift? So if he could overcome all that with his mind, he was a living example of how the mind has a power, how thoughts create, and words become flesh, as they say.
No, you're right, David. You told me, and I went out and bought a few of his CDs, and he was really, really a sophisticated.
He's right on the money, and he actually takes so-called biblical scripture, interprets it the way it should be interpreted.
Yeah, and he talks about the concept of abundance. That's what I hope the listeners today realize. You have abundance all around you. We're in a sea of infinite energy. Hypothetically, if people work together, every single human being in the world could have a house similar to the White House.
That's
There's
right.
trillions of acres of unfarmed land. Everyone could have more food than they know what to do with. There's all types of minerals and substances, whether it be aluminum, which is almost infinite, to create every sort of thing you could imagine. There's many different ways of making energy and fuels. Like we might have Paul Pantone on later, who's got different ways of making energy with the GEET device. So there's infinite abundance around us. Only the people who fall into the trap set up by big corporations and monopolists that there's shortages of everything. So you have a choice there.
That's
right. You can believe in infinite abundance coming from your creator, or which you're part of, or you can believe in infinite scarcity, where you're going to run out of everything.
And you know, Tom, that trap, unfortunately, is still being propagated and still instilled by quote-unquote religious doctrines and religious ideologies, which is probably why most religions get tax-free status, because they keep help enforcing the sheeple, serf, peasant, slave mentality.
Well, one of the things that liberated my mind a bit was just pondering what wealth is. If I feel, and I like anyone listening, I have to evaluate my own thoughts to see whether they're on the money or not, but if I feel that wealth is infinite and that I can create wealth, or like a farmer can create wheat, or a carpenter can create houses, or a machinist can create machines, that is wealth. It's a creative force that comes from source of which I'm connected with. On the other hand, if I believe that wealth is just how many Federal Reserve notes I have in my wallet, I'll always be in scarcity because the Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation, and it's their job to control the money system to our detriment.
That's right. But they control the Baron Rothschild said back in the 1820s, I care not who rules the country or kingdom. Give me control of their finances, I will own and run the country. You know what I mean? It's all about an illusion. The world is an illusion. That's why I love metaphysics, and you know, I put things up at metaphysics.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. A rare white Christmas in the South in places like Atlanta, where the airport is empty thanks to grounded flights.
We have not received more than just a trace of snow on Christmas Day since 1881, so it's been well over 100 years.
That's National Weather Service forecaster Vaughn Smith. He says the storm is barreling up the coast, likely to dump on D.C., New York, and Boston. Sunshine today in Bethlehem, which is seeing the biggest crowds in years.
Pilgrims from all over the world packed Manger Square for Christmas festivities after a standing room only midnight mass in the Church of the Nativity. Record numbers of foreigners have come to the town of Bethlehem to celebrate where Christmas started more than 2,000 years ago. During the service, the Latin patriarch prayed for peace and rain to come to the region because of a drought that has brought beautiful weather for the celebration. In Bethlehem, Leland Vittert, Fox News Radio.
President Obama spending the holiday in sunny Hawaii, but sending a message to our troops overseas.
While you may be serving far from home, every American supports you and your families. We are with you.
Republicans also with a Christmas Day message for our servicemen and women.
While you may be
know that we are behind you, and we join your loved ones in praying for your safe return home.
Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Pitts. And violence mars Christmas observances in parts of the world. At least 43 dead after an attack by a female suicide bomber in northwestern Pakistan. 11 killed in Nigeria in multiple Christmas Eve blasts. Another bomb exploded during Christmas Day mass at a police chapel in the volatile capital, southern Philippines. A priest and 10 churchgoers were wounded. In the Netherlands, officials say they thwarted a terrorist attack with the arrest of 12 Somali men based on a tip they were planning something soon. Still, there is no word on the intended target. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto when you want it and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
Senate Democrats talking change regarding rules of the road in the next Congress.
When the new Congress convenes on January 5th, Senate Democrats may try to change some of the rules through what's being called the constitutional option, permitted on the first day. The New York Times reporting that 56 Democrats and independents, frustrated by the scores of filibusters and other procedural blockades used by Republicans the last 2 years, have written to Majority Leader Harry Reid, asking him to take steps to end, quote, the current abuse of the rules. Not likely to change is the fundamental requirement that it takes 60 votes to cut off debate, but an effort may be made to force senators who are blocking a measure to actually be on the floor debating, like Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Well, as shoppers get ready for returns and reductions, retailers hoping they'll keep up the momentum in the final days, which can account for 15% of the holiday shopping season. Folks flocking to stores for deeper discounts, and analysts say this has been a banner year. Well, icy cold weather and not a lot of sunlight can give folks the holiday blues. In Russia, they've come up with a unique way to combat depression with dolphins.
The Russian government is encouraging folks in Moscow to go to the city's dolphinarium, where they can swim with the fishes in an attempt to help with seasonal affective disorder and depression. The average Vlad, Ivan, or Yuri can jump into a giant tank, ride a dolphin's fin, or just splash around to get rid of stress. The program is aimed at helping Russians get through the long, dark winter without getting tanked on vodka every night or going into severe depression. Prices and times for dolphin play vary throughout the holiday season. In Moscow, Jessica Gallagher, Fox News Radio.
Well, Spidey survives. The stunt actor who fell 30 feet while playing Spider-Man on Broadway is walking again for the first time since having back surgery after a fall during Monday's performance. His father says he can't wait to return to the show. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
I think we're back on.
We are.
We are back on. Okay, welcome back, right, gang.
Hey.
Now, normally we do the weather here, but there's no board op. We're going to do sort of my version of the weather. It sucks.
It's sort of overcast.
Yeah, it's
raining.
It sucks today. It's going to suck later today, and it's going to suck tomorrow, and it's going to suck all the way till the end of next week.
Hey, Michael, I'm extremely happy that Dave Allen called in.
So am I.
Are you there, Dave?
Of course.
Okay.
Well, a lot of people say I'm not all there, but I'm here.
Well, here's the thing. Michael and I started out as the two Santas. Now we got the three Santas. We're going to give mirth and merriment to the whole world.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll see if we're really like more like the Three Musketeers or the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, wait a second, guys. We can't. People are creatures of habit, and they expect us to keep some semblance of format here on your favorite radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we really have to start hour number two. And then we have a world premiere of Kay's commentary. Now, Dave, are you going to be breathing into the microphone so I have to shut, so I have to put you on hold?
Stop
breathing. I was trying to pick something up.
Stop breathing, Dave.
All right. So here comes the normal way to start hour number two of your Saturday special.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but
Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station. We took pity on all the people who would be without our show. Now you can fade it up. No, not fade it off, fade it up. Good. Bye. Close enough for government work. Now, wait a minute. What happened here,
Terry? Here is Kay Zwirling.
I wish I had written the following, but I did not, and much of it is really worth sharing. It was written by an editor of a newspaper in Michigan. His name is Ken Huber. It's called What Has America Become?
Wait a minute. You got to turn the mic off there at the radio station.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you got to turn the wait a minute. I can put Dave on hold, and we're going to have to start this thing all over again here. Because we're picking up all this other stuff, you know. So hold on a second. I'm going to put Dave on hold so he can breathe or pick his nose or do whatever he's going to do without disturbing the program. All right. Now, I have to go back to the wave cart here. How do I do that? Oh, no. You know what? Oh, here we go. Now we're going to start it all over again, okay? And this time we're going to have the proper respect.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
I wish I had written the following, but I did not, and much of it is really worth sharing. It was written by an editor of a newspaper in Michigan. His name is Ken Huber. It's called What Has America Become? Has America become the land of the special interests and home of the double standard? Let's see. If we lie to the Congress, it's a felony. And if the Congress lies to us, it's just politics. If we dislike a black person, we are racist. If a black dislikes whites, it's his First Amendment right. The government spends millions to rehabilitate criminals, and they do almost nothing for the victims. In public schools, you can teach that homosexuality is okay. But you better not use the word God in the process. You can kill an unborn child, but it's wrong to execute a mass murderer. We get rid of the communist and socialist threat by renaming them progressives. We're unable to close our border with Mexico, but have no problem protecting the 38th parallel in Korea. If you protest against President Obama's policies, you are a terrorist. But if you burned an American flag or George Bush in effigy, it was your First Amendment right. You can have pornography on TV or the Internet, but you better not put a nativity scene in a public park during Christmas. We have eliminated all criminals in America. They are now called sick people. We can use a human fetus for medical research, but it's wrong to use an animal. We take money from those who work hard for it and give it to those who do not want to work. We all support the Constitution, but only when it supports our political ideology. We still have freedom of speech, but only if we are being politically correct. The land of opportunity is now the land of handouts. What has happened to the land of the free and the home of the brave? For KSCO, this is Kay Zwirling.
Oh, that was a great commentary.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, that's good. These are a lot of the issues we'll probably talk about today, too.
Yeah,
what
so
we can do to make this better.
Right. You know, my mom comes across this stuff that she likes to share with people. And I've had, and she writes brilliant stuff, you know, original stuff herself. And by the way, you've been hearing the ad. I need to freshen that ad and take a different approach because we're not selling nearly as many books as I thought we would. If, you know, Kay's comment for KSCO, I'm Kay Zwirling. That's the name of the book that at the moment you can only pre-order at ksco.com. And, you know, there's something special coming up in about a month from now, a little more than a month from now, January 31st. We'll mark anniversary number 20 of the purchase of KSCO by the Zwirling family. And can't believe it. 20 years has gone by.
So you have a party.
Yeah, we need to have some sort of a celebration. What should it be? Maybe Kay's book signing potty or, you know, can be part of that. Or maybe that should be separate. We think we're going to get the books in. We've ordered a couple thousand of them. And so far, we've sold 10. You think we ordered too many?
Well, no, they'll sell over time.
You think so?
Absolutely.
It's a really, really good book. I mean, we're country bumpkins at KSCO. We don't really know how to do things in a big way. But if we did know how to do things in a big way, I'm convinced my mom's book would be like a number one bestseller on every list that's kept. And I'm not saying that just because she's my mom. If you look through the book, it's worth every penny and way, way more.
I think the Alex Jones thing was very successful, and indeed there's no reason why there couldn't be other big public events like that.
Well, you and I are going to be working on that. And anybody else who wants to, who has an idea about what kind of an event that we should do, either for our upcoming 20th anniversary marking potty that we should do something at KSCO. Maybe we'll suspend programming all day and just do a look back of 20 years or something like that.
What happened to Dave?
Dave, he's here, but let me lock in. Who else is here, by the way?
Dave, are you there?
Dave is here, and there's somebody else who just called.
Merry,
who is it?
Yeah, Merry Christmas. We're trying to find out what stores are open throughout the county so people can find stuff to take for Christmas. Last-minute shopping.
Oh, man, you say
Liquors, Bevo. Dave, how do you know that? How do you know all that?
Oh, liquor stores are always open. Isn't that something?
Oh.
Hey, this is Tony L. I've been raising money for Kay and Roseanne and everybody.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Listen, we need help with the homeless garden project a lot.
Oh, yeah, I heard you yesterday or the day before with Corey Gold. That was great. You had a great interview with him.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, by the way.
To you too, Tony.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're looking for something that's open. How about, Ben Lohman, Super, and all these other people up here are looking too. So how about Bob Hill and Scott Valley?
So, Tony, tell us a couple of things you love about the United States or things we could make better for next year.
Okay. Did anybody talk to George Norrie yet?
No.
Okay. That's all right. I did. Listen, I'm going to be Monday and Tuesday at the Garden Homeless Shelter for the project down there.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's the old Cooper House.
Oh, yeah. The old Cooper corner House. Of Cooper and Pacific in downtown Santa Cruz.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and I'm going to be doing some promotion down there, too. The homeless people down there right now are in a world of hell. I don't know what happened. I was gone. But when I came back, I found out what really happened, and I'm a little upset. So we'll make it mellow, and peace.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you.
Take
Merry Christmas, Tony.
Now, who is it who's calling right now? Who is this? Who's on the best radio station right now?
ANZ. It's Richard in Watsonville.
Richard in Watsonville.
Merry Christmas, Richard.
Hey, back at you guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mr. Quinn just asked a question there. What can we do to make it better for these people, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the guy was just asking you, what's open? You know, you make more things open on Christmas, I guess that would make things better for the homeless. Me, personally, I think I'd bring the military back here to take care of the homeless. Everybody seems to be so upset that the military's out there policing the world. Working on terrorism and all this other nonsense. So why don't we just bring the military back here like I've been advocating all these years, Mr. Quinn? Martial law.
Richard, you're just kidding around now. You're trying to get a rise out of the listeners so that
they'll
call
in. No, I'm not either.
I'm trying to help us out because
Mr. Quinn here, NZ.
Because we're dreadfully low on callers, and you're just trying to help us out like you always do.
Richard,
right?
why do you advocate the military police state? Because I'm sick and tired of highway patrol, county sheriff, city police, You talk about people that think that they're in the military. You bring the military back here, you will not have any more drunk drivers. You won't have any more bank corruption. You won't have any more political criminals.
Richard, hold on. If you remember, they lost like several billion dollars, kind of got lost in the military in Iraq before he pulled out. Several billion just kind of disappeared.
Dave, don't you hope they're having a good time with it?
What?
I hope the military's having a damn good time with that money.
I don't know,
because
man.
I'm sick and tired of listening to everybody around here bitching about politicians stealing their money. Now we bring the
military. They should take
home.
Some action, right?
What?
They should take some action. You know, I have a prediction. I have a prediction about 2011. I believe 2011 is going to be the year of the people rising up against the banks, the big banks.
Are we gonna...
And suing the banks for causing what they knew damn well that they were doing. I think lot of people
are going to...
Just a minute, Richard and Watsonville. I think what's going to happen in 2011 is that people are going to rise up. They're going to join... incredible numbers class action lawsuits against individual lenders. There was something in the news just within the last two or three days about former and future Governor Jerry Brown, while he's still Attorney General, having some sort of a settlement or agreement with a bank, with a Wells Fargo Bank, involving mortgages from two of the banks that they acquired in the last couple of years. Wachovia was one of them. I forgot what the other one was. About loan modification, about forced loan modifications, because these things were forced on the public in such a way that the banks knew that they were packaging toxic loans that were going to go bad and upset the whole economy. And I think what's going to happen in 2011 is that just about everybody is going to join one of these lawsuits against these banks that are the culprits in all of this.
But you know, Michael,
it
all starts with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is the banker on top of all the bankers.
Yeah, the illusion. Wait a minute, Quinn, yeah. Why does it have to be all these banks? Why can't it be just one bank? Why can't it just be one lawsuit instead of all these different lawsuits? Why can't we just have the people of the United States against? And then what are you going to charge them for, Mr. Quinn?
The Federal Reserve's unconstitutional.
No, I got one charge. Counterfeit.
That and fraud, exactly.
No, counterfeit.
You're very close to the mark, Richard.
No, you want to get close to the mark, buddy, you turn the printing machine off.
Right.
Are you ready to replace Rush Limbaugh with Alex Jones?
Oh, I don't know.
It's getting close, isn't it?
Rush Limbaugh's entertainment.
No, what did I tell you yesterday, Dave?
Dave does not care for Alex Jones
bit. I talked to Dave yesterday off the air, on private, and I told him he should be glad that we got Alex Jones. Stan Montes should be glad we got Alex Jones.
He is.
Yeah, all these people should be just sitting back and letting Alex Jones take what they've already given to him.
More money. Have your mind.
Now, Richard, stay there. Don't go away. There's someone else calling here. Who is this? Who is this who's calling? The dial tone is calling. Okay. Well, I was just trying to be polite to whoever was calling, not make them ring
so, Michael,
so long.
To make a comment about your prediction for 2011.
Yeah.
Instead of a class action lawsuits, when these people see that it takes years, that it ain't working, all it does is fill the pockets.
No, but what people are doing in the process, they're going to stop paying their mortgages.
Right.
I forgot to say that.
I was going to say...
And when that happens, I mean, watch what happens. These banks will shape up real fast.
Well, you know what? I don't know personally, but I know of people that got foreclosed on 2 years ago, especially in the Central Valley. They're still living there. Nobody came by to kick them out yet.
Sure, because if they did, that would be the end of the whole economy. The whole thing would collapse. Who's on the line now who hasn't been acknowledged? Who is this?
Lupe.
Hi, Lupe. Do I know you from someplace?
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, to you too.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
So what you got to say, Lupe?
Well, I don't agree with the way you're projecting this is going to play out. One second. Because by the time these, anything were to go through court, it's going to be years.
That's right.
And by that time, if we figure what their damages are now, by that time, the money's not going to be worth anything if they ever got a hold of it. But they'll basically the collateral damage of this thing.
Now, Lupe, are you hip to how the Federal Reserve works?
Of course I am.
The fraudulent fractionary.
I mean, how the Federal... Well, it's just, they're just printing up money, basically.
Lupe,
That leads me to this.
I don't want to diss Richard N. Watsonville, so we'll put you on hold. We'll come back, but stay there. Here. Richard N. Watsonville.
Let me just say one last thing, and I'll leave.
Okay.
Because I'm sick of this nonsense. This guy that owns this WikiLeaks and brought it out about the military.
Yes.
Good for him. The next thing he was going to bring out was the banking. What all the banks has been saying about all you people out there that own all that property. And then we're going to see what you're talking about here. This law, you know, these lawsuits against this and that, what happened to this house and that property.
Well,
and
I don't know. What Lupe said he disagrees with my projection.
Oh,
no. He hasn't said yet whether he disagrees that
so
people
this is
should,
what Mr. WikiLeaks said he was going to bring out in January. He was going to bring out everything on the banks. And when I have to listen last week to how WikiLeaks leaks a leak that Venezuela was selling China oil for $5 a barrel. So, hey, he offered it to us for $12 a barrel during Katrina, remember?
He offered us
for $12 and Bush told him to go to hell, man.
He offered us like 2 million barrels free. Bush said, screw you.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Dave. This is going on, and at the same time, we're paying 80, 90 bucks a barrel and the price of gas is going down.
Well, that's because of, we have...
It's not going down, it's going up.
Well,
I know for sure.
It's not going to go up like it is.
I paid $2.98, and now I'm and 2 weeks ago, and now I'm paying $3.15
at
right. Costco.
Wait till next month.
Right.
All right, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas,
that's
Richard.
That's another thing Tom was saying about the
false
solution.
Who's calling with a bad phone line? Who is that?
Huh? Hello?
Yeah, you have a terrible phone line. You better talk fast.
Yeah, I'd like to know, are they going to have a Christmas dinner at the Civic Center today?
I don't know.
Somebody might call in if somebody knows.
Yeah, someone should call in if someone knows, but do not give the wrong information.
Yeah, because I tried to call all over the place, and I can't seem to find out, but somebody told me they might be having one, so...
It would be a cruel
joke. I could think it was
someone,
you guys.
For some
call. I tried to call a police department, and...
That's fine. You're on the air. Say something wonderful. How are we going to have
a
better
day? Oh, I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, people? Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Tell us what we need to do to make next year better.
I said Merry Christmas to a couple people, and they gave me the dirty growl, you know.
Well, say it louder and bolder.
Yeah. Well, I just say it louder and bolder.
There you go.
Hey, could you put it on the radio if it is going to happen today?
Certainly.
Yeah, we will, and so we want to put that out. Please call if anyone knows the answer to that question truthfully and definitively. Please call 479.
Yeah, it used to be at the vet's hall, but they took the vet's hall away from the vets, so it's not going to happen at the vet's hall this year.
Yeah, am I right that you're Steve calling?
Yeah, this is Steve Elliott.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I called you before, and you said I sounded like that one guy that was in the news.
Blagojevich. Doesn't he sound like Blagojevich, Dave?
Yeah, Blagojevich or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I just wanted to find out so I can have something to do because I'm just sitting here all alone.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for calling. Had a bowl of soup, and that's it.
We'll stay with you at least until 1 o'clock.
All right, well, thanks a lot, guys.
We can't stay even one second after 1 o'clock because you two there. We can't stay one second after 1 o'clock because Billy has programmed the alligator to chew us off at 1 o'clock.
But I add further on your prediction, Michael, that not only are there going to be lawsuits, but the thing is, with these class action suits, they take years, like the other guy said, Lupe, and the only people that make money are the freaking lawyers again.
We have to bring Lupe back, by the way, because we haven't forgotten Lupe. I don't want to diss him.
Well,
but there's somebody else on line three. Who is it?
My name's Jeff.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well. Did you just ask what we could do to improve the lot of the American?
Yeah.
You can take Fannie and Freddie and liquidate them and sell off all those mortgages to people that make less than $200,000 and not to any corporation.
Now, isn't it amazing the TARP giveaway, if they'd given that to every homeowner, we would have virtually no mortgages in the United States.
Well, if they're holding, 75% of the paper, then... If it goes to the little people, then those people will then have to invest into those properties. It'll turn the economy around like a jet ski out on the water.
We agree.
You're a very smart person.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
But that's exactly why they won't.
No, well,
we can force the issue.
They hold control.
That's right.
No, we hold control if we exert ourselves.
Absolutely. And this isn't a party issue either. So, you know, if people are saying, well, this party or that party, then they're sadly mistaken. But, you know, it would, if they did it regionally, and they should have done the same thing with Fort Ord with some of the housing. If people made less than a certain amount of money, they had access to enter into an auction type scenario where they could bid on any of the land that was out there, and people that lived here locally would have owned property, and then they would have had an interest in developing that property, and it would turn the housing market around, the construction industry.
Can I mention something here? If you look at the bogus national debt, which was set up by the fraudulent Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. and you hire Jerry Lewis, who's currently out of work, who used to do the telethon, you hired him to go on TV and sell off all the surplus stuff the federal government owns unconstitutionally. Oh. It says specifically the federal government cannot own property outside the District of Columbia unless it's been allocated by the state legislators.
Oh.
All that property could be sold off, and the national debt would disappear in weeks.
Well, California owns a lot of land, too. Most of the land in this country is owned by the government.
And that's right.
It should all be sold. All needs to be sold.
And they don't have to pay taxes, so they wonder what happened. You know, geez.
You know the wonderful thing about Andrew Jackson is his farewell speech was how he got rid of the predecessor of the Federal Reserve, but also in there he explains, and if you read the history books, he was the one president who got rid of the national debt. The way he did it was he shut down the national bank, which was like the Federal Reserve, and he sold all the federal lands that the federal government shouldn't have anyway, and basically paid off the national debt. The country had no national debt after Andrew Jackson was finished.
That's how they got rid of him, too.
I believe Coolidge did, too, because when Wilson was in office, the tax rate went up to like 70% for the highest earners, and then he cut it down to like 7%, and all of a sudden they had the roaring 20s, and people were happy and making money, and we were producing things and so on and so forth. So.
Well, the roaring 20s was also when the Federal Reserve had been implemented in 1913, and mm-hmm. they started greatly increasing the monetary supply, and that created sort of like a monetary frenzy in the 30s. And then in 1929, when they created the crash, they created a monetary contraction, raised interest rates, and made it more difficult for banks to make loans. So they had the ability to create booms and busts, and they knew beforehand when they'd create a boom and a bust and use that to profit off
the
stock market.
Do they have the ability to create a boom now?
Yep.
They can do all sorts of crazy stuff because, look, Michael, here's a good question for you. Right now, today, we're the three Santas, okay? You got Zerling, Allen, and Quinn. We're the three Santas delivering merriment and mirth.
And Lupe, but I think
there
Lupe,
you go.
Got,
Lupe
I think
too,
Lupe got
four
fired
Santas.
And hung up. I hope he'll call
but,
back.
But here's the thing. Imagine if we had a company, the three Santas, and we called it the Federal Reserve, and we were able to get $100 notes off the printing press for a penny apiece.
Yeah.
And we'd never been audited.
And then tax the government as if that was real wealth.
What was this nice, intelligent caller's name? Who's still
my name is. Are you asking about me?
I'm asking you. Yeah.
My name's Jeff. I'm in Monterey.
That's right, Jeff. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now there's someone else.
That was good, Jeff. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Jeff is a very, very bright man. But
where's Lupe?
Is Lupe back?
Lupe, you can call back in. Sorry.
Yeah, please call back in, Lupe. I apologize. He probably had to leave. Anyhow, someone else is on the air now. They need to identify themselves. Who is it?
This is Lowell.
Hey, Lowell Webb.
Lowell Webb and his orchestra.
Of the famous Webb's Farm.
Yeah.
So everyone needs to know where Webb's Farm is.
San Jose Road.
It's been there over 100 years. You guys sell all sorts of stuff up there.
Yeah.
That we do. Part of this is a little bit about merchandising, perhaps.
Good.
And a couple random thoughts. You were talking about Kay's book. Some of us are computer challenged, so it isn't helpful for us to go online to order the book. I stopped by the station yesterday afternoon, and nobody knew what to do. Whether they could show me a book or tell me a price or
have to roll because we dealt with that earlier this week. You know, I informed Rosemary and she was going to inform everybody else, but obviously that didn't happen. But I guess, you know, it's difficult to get anything done from, now it's November 1st to the end of the year. Now, I'm not defending this. This is awful. There's no excuse for not being able to buy an advanced copy of Kay's book. Annalise bought one, and she came in just when I happened to be there. So I was able to help to take her order, which is very, very nice. And she, like so many other people, and I'm realizing now, Lowell, that there are way more people than I ever dreamed who just don't use computers, who listen to KSCO.
I'm ashamed to admit that I'm computer illiterate, but that is the situation, and it causes some problems. I suppose if I had time, I could learn such things. But anyway, that might be a helpful way if you can set up just some guidelines for people. You might put it on paper.
Sure.
And everybody would know what to do with it there.
That's a great idea, and that's what I will personally do, and that will be reflected in the next commercial that we do.
Another random thought, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but I've heard several times you mentioned Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
His dying words, his last words supposedly were, "I killed the bank."
Huh. They killed him.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in other words, you're right on target,
Michael,
with this business.
I know we got people ringing.
Wait. I want to say something to Lowell. Listen, we should have a prize next year for any individual in the county who gets the most red tags. And the current the current winner is Hillary Falconer, who's got like 70 or 80. And Lowell's, I think, is at number two.
What?
How many you got, Lowell?
More than I'd like to have.
For what?
Seven? For red tags from the planning department.
Give us one little quick incident, an example. What's the bitch about? What's their bitch?
Oh, Dave, they don't like the fact that I've got three homes out here that were built without permits.
That are all grandfathered in.
One of them was built in the 1800s. My grandmother raised five children in it. The next one was built by the youngest of those five children as the high school shop project in the 30s. And the third one, my father and I put up in the 40s. All these things before there was county rules about doing such things.
Or even building part, for that matter.
Lowell, that's specifically covered in the Constitution. That's called an ex post facto law. They're trying to create retroactive laws. That's illegal.
That's right.
As usual, they're breaking the law.
Yeah.
Now, who else is joining us now?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Who's this?
This is Dan in Felton.
How you doing, Dan?
Just fine. I just bought your mom's book. Can I tell Lowell how to do it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Lowell, can you hear me?
I can.
Do you know how to get onto a website?
No.
He should, because his name is Lowell Webb.
That's right.
No, sometime next week, my people who do such things for me will be here. And
okay.
We'll probably go ahead and do it at that
time. Oh, your grandkids could do it for you from their telephone, probably.
Yep, they probably could. But we'll get it taken care of. But I just thought it might be helpful for...
No, Lowell's right, and we got to deal with that because it's not just one or two people. And even if it was, we don't want to make it hard for those one or two people, and it's really many more than that, to get a copy of Kay's book because everybody should have a copy of Kay's book.
I should think if
really
you've only sold 10, there's a lot more that would be able to do it the other way.
Yeah, we might have sold 11 by now, I think.
There you go.
But really, not nearly as many as I thought we would. But, you know... it might have something to do with the season because it's the holiday season, and it's not, you know, when you buy the book, you're just buying an advanced copy. So we wanted to get a barometer, a feel for how many we should order, and we ordered 2,000 only because the price break was so significant at 2,000 that we said, oh, what the heck, maybe we could get Kay on with some of the big talk shows and so forth, and it might sell some books. Because everybody who's looked at it has said, this is a world-class book. It's not just a dumb local yokel thing that's nothing special. It really is special. So
I would suggest a copy of it going to Brian Sussman.
Oh, yes.
One of those stations up north.
Right.
And he's a kind of a local guy here as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think he would promote it once he looks at it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. Okay, full of great ideas. Thank you, Lowell. Appreciate your call.
Gentlemen, thank you for the program.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you all.
Okay, this is KSCO. Who's this?
This is Peter V. in Salinas.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, it's happy holidays. Merry Christmas and a happy new year.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
What I'm grateful for, number one, I'm sitting here next to my mom, Michael, and we're on our way to the
Ideal Fish Company Bar and Grill. So to make this a better year, shop locally, eat locally, and support the local merchants, including Webb's Farm. If you're looking for a good chainsaw, go to Webb's Farm. That guy's got the equipment you need to keep your property clear.
In anything involving property. Anything involving property, Lowell's got up there. I've been there. It's an amazing place.
And I'd also like to thank, the Lord above for, again, Bud McCrary. If you're looking for good lumber, Big Creek Lumber is the place to get that.
Absolutely.
If you want to make it a better county and a better country, that's where you need to go. And as far as the banks go, well, I think Shakespeare had a good idea for the bankers and the lawyers. Lock up the building, fill it full of gas, and waste a couple matches.
Okay.
I'd like to make a comment here. We've had callers from the home talking about homeless people in Santa Cruz. We've had people talk about banks. We've had people talk about the planning department. But, you know, one of the things we've lost that our grandparents, our great-grandparents had, was that you could use your creative powers, which you have as a child of God, to create a house out of nothing. Our ancestors would use the local dirt. You've cut me off totally.
I've cut you off?
No,
I'm on. I mean, you're on.
You, Donald, you somehow interfered with what's going on.
I can hear you, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, people used to be able to make beautiful homes the last hundreds of years in Europe and in the United States, where they'd use the dirt that was all around them.
Right.
They'd
God.
Use the stones that were all around them. They'd use the trees all around them. And they and their children, their family, would work hard for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and they'd build a house using the material at hand to create a house that lasts 200, 300 years that they could pass to their children and grandchildren.
Yeah, but they haven't passed the building code.
And now because of this nasty collaboration between banks and planning departments, they're trying to make it where you can't build anything without going into a 30-year debt. So now what we have in this county, how many people own their own homes free and clear? Almost no one. And the thing is that the planning department has created a situation where it's hard to build houses, so we have more homeless people, and everyone has a 30-year debt. Now, that's something that's here local that people should be able to work on.
Right, and by the time you pay that 30 years off, you get about 5 more homes.
Yeah, so people are paying tremendous inflated prices for these homes that, instead of having, you know, like the wonderful adobe homes that you used to see here locally, they've got Owens Corning fiberglass and these 2x4s that they bring down from Oregon and all sorts of strange building materials. When we could do it all here locally, we don't need the planning department. They really just get in people's way.
Who else is on the line with us and has been for a while?
Oh, I didn't know I was available for speaking.
It sounds like Evergreen.
Boy, you're... That's why you're in radio, because you have that auditory finesse.
And someone else is ringing and ringing and ringing, but just ring and ring and ring. We know you're there. And don't hang up, because we'll get you on the air.
Could be Lupe.
Oh, yeah, Lupe, come back. Where'd
let
you go?
Lupe go first before
yeah,
me.
Lupe go.
Oh, okay, well, we'll put you on hold. I don't know if you can hear the radio station on hold. Let me try here. Okay, let's bring... okay, Lupe, is that you?
No, it's not Lupe. It's Philip from Live Oak. Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Hi, Philip.
Everybody, Merry Christmas.
Hold on,
okay.
Philip, here. Now, Philip.
Yes.
Were you hearing dead air, or were you hearing the
I was
radio
just
station?
Hearing dead air.
Damn it. Who's whispering in my ear, thinking I can't hear it? Because I can hear every word, and that means the audience can, too. Is anybody going to own up to whispering in my ear?
I don't hear it.
Well, it stopped now, ever since I talked about it.
Could be the devil.
They probably hung up.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and say, you know, that, you know, there's, you know, I'm the sort of the local inventor, you know, the technologist, and I'm working on all kinds of products.
You mean you're the only one?
Well, I mean the only one that's really working super hard, because I'm in the security aspect of doing security chips and security boards.
I hear you on the station quite a bit. You're a very fine caller.
Well, I try to be, but, you know, I just love to get the new callers in, because, you know, listening to my old crackly voices, but when I see nobody sort of, you know, supporting KSCO, I sort of jump in there and try to add it.
When only old callers support KSCO, we feel like passing away.
Right.
You know?
Or passing gas.
Nothing against the old callers.
Well, no, your rule about, you know, only once a week calling into the thing, and I try to abide by those rules, you know, concerning the one show, and it's a great rule. Uh-huh. But sometimes, there's a lot of dead air sometimes because people just don't call in unless you get some encouragement.
You don't mean truly dead air. Dead air like what happens when we put you on hold, and I don't know what's wrong with that system. When we put you on hold, you're supposed to hear the radio station, but that's not happening today.
Well, okay. I don't know all about your little technical issues, but you have the finest ones in that I've ever heard of on technical issues that come up in your station.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Philip. You have a merry, merry...
Merry Christmas, Philip.
And a merry Christmas to you, too.
And a happy Hanukkah for next year, because this happy Hanukkah has already happened.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Here comes... Who is it? Who is this?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Oh, it's Evergreen again. Yeah.
I don't think I ever was... disconnected.
No, you weren't.
I wanted to let Lupe go because he was trying to finish whatever thought he was doing.
Lupe got mad and left.
No.
Lupe left 20 minutes ago.
And he should have, and I don't blame him one bit because that was rude. I said we want to answer another phone call, and then we forgot about Lupe.
Yeah. Well.
Wasn't very nice. So.
Maybe it'll fester over into the next Saturday special.
So, Evergreen, tell us something wonderful.
Something. What do you mean, what's wonderful? It's raining.
Well, tell us something wonderful we can do next year. Make life better.
Oh, boy, that's a great question. You know, I had thought about all that stuff. People were talking about the Federal Reserve, talking about all the issues. I had to take a break during the middle of the show, honestly, to go listen to a Mullen and Night Visitors. It was just a fabulous rendition of it. But anyway, on another radio station. But this is my favorite radio station, after all.
Well, it's a good thing.
And we were talking about, I wanted to wish Lowell Webb a Merry Christmas, a very Merry Christmas. I tried to call him at his shop yesterday so I could catch him, but he was gone out doing his elfly chores out there, probably.
Well, everyone needs to support Lowell Webb because the county is harassing him with all these crazy red tags.
I wonder about the vets hall. Did they red tag that on purpose just to... displace the
no, that's a very good question. That was a wonderful building. And
yeah, the city probably wants the property.
Yeah.
That should be looked into.
Old Bolshevik move. Red tag it, take it.
I remember after the earthquake in 89, they had to work like crazy with a wrecking ball to take down the Cooper House. It was heartbreaking. Yeah.
Well, they did that right away, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Warp speed.
Who else is on the phone with us?
You got Peter V and Salinas.
Peter, sorry we sort of dissed you.
No, you haven't dissed me at all, Michael. I'm listening intently. And
okay, all you need to do is just chime in, and you'll be on the air.
Well, cool. I'm going to leave you with this. Thank you, Michael, for what you brought myself and the community this year, especially Alex Jones. As far as myself, the older in my community I respect the most is Dr. Stanley Monteith. Again,
amen.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas to you,
thank
sir.
Thank you, Peter V. Appreciate
Merry Christmas.
Call.
Thank you, Peter.
God bless you.
There goes Peter.
God bless us.
Opens up a line at 479. Hey, that rhymes. That opens up a line at 479-1080. Of course, you have to add area 831 if you're outside the 831 area code. But if you want to join this free-form program on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, there, I did it, and I'm only 45
That's right.
minutes late.
That's right.
I was supposed to do the legal ID right after the news.
So,
yeah,
40 minutes late.
Well, thank you for being so responsible. I know that's important. The FCC is watching you like a hawk. I know it.
Yeah, but I need to put this out before I forget. The weather is so bad. It is so blowy up here right now.
Wow.
That KSCO North may be blown away in a matter of minutes.
Uh-oh.
If that happens and I just disappear, just be aware that that's what happened, okay?
Well, Donald, we'd be good hands with Donald, though.
Yeah, with Donald and
Richard
B. Luther II and Tom Quinn and even Dave Allen.
Well, before that happens, I'd like to say Merry Christmas to everybody out everywhere and God bless us, everyone.
And
God bless the Whirlings. But, you know, hey, I want to make good on your pledge to let me buy copies of Kay's book without a credit card because,
as
you know, I detest even the usage of those things. It's like a vampiric drip.
But you do get miles and you do get rebates depending
yeah,
upon the credit card that you use.
So, Evergreen, tell us a couple of wonderful things we can all do next year.
visioneer, more positive awakening and courageous strengthening of people through education. Like
Freedom Forum. That's good.
I want more
Freedom Forum. There you go.
And by the way, Evergreen is the, like Tom Quinn is the guiding light and driving force behind the Perspectives radio program for the last dozen or so years on KSEO. Evergreen.
And Donald, right.
And yeah, right.
Yeah.
And Dr. Biles and Dr. Stan and so forth, part of the team, you know. But you've been you're the guy who
Michael
made it
Shaw.
Happen. You're the guy who made it happen, right? I mean, it was your baby and
it's kind of like my original vision.
But I
persuaded a bunch of people in committees and stuff to, you know, continue because as a Ron Paul canvasser out in the neighborhoods, you know, going door to door in the rain, worse weather than this. I remember Ellie Black and I wearing our shoes out and getting all soaked going door to door. But that was how we got the word out door to door about
for
Ron
the Freedom
Paul.
Otherwise, Forum is what I was going to say.
Well, Freedom Forum's next meeting is in January, the third Wednesday, and it's going to be about what they're doing at airports with the TSA security and all that garbage.
Yeah, we just decided we love freedom and life more than cowering down and being comfortable. So, I don't know. We just refuse to quit.
Do a little announcement for the meeting so that's going to be the third Wednesday in January. It's going to be about the TSA. It's a Live Oak Grange on 17th Avenue. It'll start at 7 o'clock.
Oh, speaking of all that, my sister, I called my sister and who hadn't spoken to her for a long time up in Oregon, and she said she went through the TSA in Florida and it was a horrible experience. She's not going to fly anymore.
Yeah, but
and she got driven out to Santa Cruz by Red Tag Tyranny herself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
people
need to realize that x-rays are very dangerous and they cause cumulative health problems to people, and they should absolutely not get the x-rays. And indeed, being groped by a stranger is bad, but it might be preferable than getting x-rays.
Yeah, but now we're all safer.
Well, it's all unconstitutional. It's all craziness. And then you get into questions about who actually did 9/11.
Yeah.
All right.
God bless us, everyone.
Hey, thank you.
Especially those whirling.
And especially
thank you. Sir.
Merry Christmas, Evergreen.
Hey, I've got a question for you. I can still pay in silver, right?
God, that would be great because it'll be worth
damn.
Something.
Silver and gold's a legal tender.
More than the fiat money, anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
That's good. Thank you, Evergreen. You take care. There goes Evergreen, and that opens up a line at 479-1080. Wait a minute. Are you still there, Dave?
Dave.
Uh-oh.
Dave disappeared.
Dave, are you there?
Dave, call back.
Oh, no. I dropped Dave. And who else is there? Someone is there now.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave is there.
Dave's
okay.
there. Okay.
So
I can't believe
the
one second ago to call, you guys looked for me.
Yeah.
I've been sitting here for the last hour twirling my thumb.
No, Dave. No. You said a lot in the last hour.
That's right.
All right. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSEO. Why in the world is this your favorite radio station? It's so unprofessional, at least today. Who is it? Who's calling the favorite radio station?
Wendell, Westside.
Wendell, I now know what you look like after wondering for many, many years.
And I just want to tell everybody, remember the reason for this season.
Wendell,
not about money and shopping.
Wendell.
About somebody who showed up to his son.
Does anybody understand what Wendell said?
No.
It's not a good cell phone connection. How you doing, Wendell?
It's really not a good cell connection, so maybe he'll call back from a landline.
He's probably got an iPhone.
We're getting a lot of background noise. Dave, are you making a lot of noise in the background?
I was.
You can't.
I'm running water. I clean my coffee pot.
You can't do that.
Okay.
You can't do that. It's very noisy.
Who's calling now? Who's on the radio with us? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. You're on the air. In front
of it's Wendell again.
Oh, hi, Wendell.
That's much better.
You sound a little better now.
Listen, I just want to remind everybody what the reason is for this season.
What is that?
It's about Jesus. If you want to do something good, say a prayer for everybody in the planet.
That's a good start.
Plant a tree.
That's a good start.
And use a bag when you go to the grocery store so you don't have to waste plastic and paper.
So what do you think about the Constitution?
Well, I think you've got to really pay close attention to what's going on. And thank you, Michael, for Alex Jones. It's the probably one of the best programs on the radio right now.
Well,
Matt, yeah. Because you'll listen Sundays at 4.
I've got a bad connection, so I'm going to say goodbye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Wendell.
Okay, oh, bye-bye. There goes Wendell.
Now we lost Lupe. He sounded so promising, and
maybe
he just sort of disappeared
Lupe.
In the
maybe
ethers.
Maybe Lupe's calling back now. Who is this who's on the air now with us?
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Hi, Michael. This is Pure Heart in Aptos.
Pure Heart.
I would like to show my utter contempt for you and your radio station by using the M word.
Okay.
Merry Christmas. Which is currently one of the worst things you can say, I think.
Well, I think Pure Heart deserves public recognition for all of his help in our show perspectives and the station in general.
I would never do that.
And you send wonderful contributions to the station all the time, for which we are so
it must be my evil twin, but I'd like to thank this Whirling family for having such a forum like this radio station, which allows perspectives to be on the air.
Dave, stop laughing.
I can hardly hear the guy. All I hear is the evil twin.
And all my favorite people like Richard in Watsonville and Vernon and Ben and Salinas and et cetera. I had a question about Alex Jones. There was a news guy named Tim something rather who asked Bush and Kerry, I guess it was, about the existence of Skull and Bones and ended up being killed or disappearing.
Oh, I don't know about that. Do you, Tom, or do you, Dave?
Dr.
Stan,
what? I can't hear this guy.
I don't know his last name, but he asked a question on the air and mysteriously passed away.
Who?
So I wonder how Alex Jones can get away with it without being mysteriously passed away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Pure Heart, tell us a couple of things you do to make the world a better place for next year.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you guys very much.
Pure Heart, come on.
What?
Tell us a couple of things that will make the world better next year.
The world a better place?
Yeah.
I think if more people, if they were to teach the Constitution in schools.
Okay, that's a good one.
And if more people were to hold public officials accountable to obey the Constitution, which we all swear to do when we're, we get
our
job.
Well, they say they're going to, then they get elected, and then they don't.
Yeah, but I didn't know about the ex post facto thing that Tom Quinn mentioned. That's an excellent thing, but you know, poor Mr. Webb is suffering from red tags. But
Dave, we're getting a phenomenal amount of background noise.
Bobby. Okay.
Wait, no, stay on the air, Pure Heart. Or do we lose Pure Heart?
He's still there. So anyhow, yeah, he was complimenting you, Tom, for knowing stuff that most people don't know.
Well, that's very kind, Pure Heart.
But that's all I have to say is thank you very much. And
well, we certainly appreciate
certainly
your support.
For years.
Well, thank you, too. And now, since nobody else is on, I think we'll...
Well, one...
Oh. Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas, Bureau.
How are you feeling?
It's great. We're cooking. Cooking with gas.
I don't know where to scratch. Come here, baby. Scratch my back. I know you can do it. So, baby, get to it. Ah, you're working with it now. You got me feeling so good. Little bit to the sun now, baby. This little girl sure knows how to scratch. Now you're doing a chicken scratch. Ah, it's looking good, baby.
Okay, what's next?
Hey, man, that was good.
Okay, wait a minute. Tom Quinn.
Yeah.
You've heard that song before, of course, right?
Yeah, it's classic.
Okay, yeah, okay. Blue Moon. And who's the artist or, you know, the group?
I'll be out. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, let's ask this whoever's calling. Who is this who's calling the radio station?
This is Lupe calling back.
Lupe, thank you for calling. God, you just disappeared.
Thank you for
calling.
What happened?
I was on hold, and I didn't want to know if I was talking over the truck, you know, so...
We were concerned. We thought you'd fallen off the bicycle or something. We just couldn't figure it out.
I had to run a few errands here.
Okay, so...
He can't hang around on hold all day.
Give us some wit and wisdom.
Well, I think the topic was, how do we make 2011 a better year? And I think I originally called in... thing that I didn't think Michael was on the right track with, you know, his idea or whatever, his projection that these...
A minute, or else you'll have to wait to the next show.
Sure, that these suits would work their way through court. So my suggestion to everybody is forget about the Federal Reserve, forget about the lawsuits, just concern ourselves with what's going on here locally. Our local government.
That's a practical approach, because if everyone did that across the country, it would gradually be felt in Washington.
But who cares what's going on in Washington? You know, we have to worry about what's going on right here. I mean, we're financially unsustainable. You know, the county government, these local governments, we can't pay. We can't have people running around getting paid $270,000 a year and then have to pay for their pensions when
that's amazing.
They paid half that years ago. We can't afford that.
It's amazing, so, isn't it? Susan Muriello gets paid as much as the President of the United States.
Lupe, to be a talk show host on KSCO. You have a great set of pipes and you have a very fine mind.
I'm the guy that comes down there who this is a very vital informational organ in our area and I think it's being underutilized.
Organ. There you go.
Yeah, we need effective organs, particularly disseminating accurate information.
Starting with cojones.
8, 7, 6. Okay, oh. Lupe, we want you to call back next hour. Okay, it's KSCO Santa Cruz, Linus Monterey, San Jose. Here it's Snoop.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Holiday headache for folks traveling in parts of the South hit by a rare Christmas snowstorm.
It started snowing this morning across parts of Georgia and has turned to snow in several locations up in extreme North Georgia. Some locations have reported 2 to 4 inches of snow.
Frank Taylor with the National Weather Service. Atlanta's airport pretty much a ghost town. Hundreds of flights canceled as forecasters warn folks in the Mid-Atlantic region and New England to reconsider any travel plans they may have tomorrow. Well, Christmas in the Holy Land as the little town of Bethlehem sees its biggest crowds in years.
Happy Christmas to everybody.
I'm from Philippines. Merry Christmas.
Officials say more than 100,000 people have poured into the West Bank town since Christmas Eve. And in Rome.
Verbum caro factum est.
A plea for peace from Pope Benedict.
The Pope wishing the world a joyful Christmas today from St. Peter's in more than 60 languages. Benedict XVI also making special mention of the Christian communities suffering persecution in both Iraq and China.
Fox's Greg Burke in Rome. Police in the Netherlands say they've stopped a terror attack.
12 Somalis ages 19 to 48 arrested on Christmas Eve in Rotterdam, a port city in the Netherlands. A statement from the public prosecutor's office says they were planning to carry out an attack in the Netherlands,
Fox's
quote,
Molly
in the
Henneberg.
Short term.
Fox's Molly Henneberg in Washington. Hundreds of people lined up for ration coupons at an aid center in Pakistan, the latest targets of a bombing attack by a woman wearing a burqa who threw grenades at police and blew herself up, killing at least 45 people. And a quiet Christmas for President Obama and the first family in the oceanfront home they're renting in Hawaii. So far, the president's been to the gym, the golf course, and to the beach with daughters Sasha and Malia. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
The Judge goes primetime. Every night at 8 on Fox Business, he's challenging big government, exposing shady D.C. deals, and defending your rights all week long. Freedom Watch every night at 8. Plus, Eric Bolling's at a brand new time, keeping you in the know with all the shocking stories of greed and corruption around the country. Don't miss Follow the Money, weeknights at 9 and Thursdays at 10 on Fox Business, the power to prosper. This country is about hard work and forward thinking, building, growing, and that it's called the American dream for a reason. It's why Fox Business pushes the limit.
This administration chooses policy over people.
Close to $4 trillion in federal spending.
Contrary to what Washington wants you to believe, times are tough.
Calling out corruption and standing up to government overregulation. And we'll never quit. It's why we move forward. Fox Business Network, the power to prosper.
The first big snow of the season could hit New Englanders who don't shovel with a whole new pile of problems.
Thanks to a ruling by the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts, homeowners could find themselves facing a lawsuit if someone slips and falls on their snowy property, no matter how the snow got there. A homeowner may have shoveled and salted thoroughly in front of their home, but they could be sued if a plow pushes snow back onto their land and someone gets hurt. That's according to a court ruling back in July. The city of Boston gives residents 6 hours to shovel, and a city official says they'll try to educate people before ticketing, at least when it comes to the season's first snow. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
New pressure on Iran's reform movement. A conservative lawmaker says Iran's opposition leaders are barred from leaving the country. It's the first official word of the travel ban and may reflect a new push by hardliners to put top opposition figures on trial. Well, now the more officials now worrying thermos containers may do more than keep coffee hot and will now be subject to extra scrutiny at the nation's airports.
If you're bringing an insulated beverage container, if you want to bring it on board, it's possible inspectors will ask you to open it up. They could check it for any trace of explosives. And, of course, they'll take a look with the X-ray, too. But the containers won't be prohibited in the passenger cabin. Now, this is not related to any active plot involving insulated cups. One U.S. official told Fox News there is no specific threat, but because of intelligence, TSA is carefully monitoring information related to terrorist tactics using these items. They didn't say what intelligence.
Fox's Steve Santani. A message in a bottle from nearly 150 years ago, now just being read. A Confederate museum has finally opened the bottle that carried a coded message from one Southern general to another during the Battle of Vicksburg in Mississippi. Experts decoding it say the Confederate commander was being told no reinforcements were on the way. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
KSCO 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
So how you doing, Michael?
And we're serious about that, Tom Quinn. Good.
So we're here. Is Dave Allen still around? Did we lose Dave?
I think we lost Dave.
So we're back to two Santas.
Yeah.
We did have three.
But no, we have a third one. We have Donald Davidson, right?
Donald's here, too.
Yeah.
There we go.
He doesn't have a Santa hat.
And Richard B. Luther II is there, and he's a Santa of sorts.
We don't have Santa.
In fact,
hats,
he's the biggest Santa of all because he made this program possible by flicking the right switches.
That's right. I don't think people realize what a bewildering amount of buttons there are in front of us.
Yeah.
That's what's facing me all the time, MZ.
And how do you do it, Donald Davidson?
Well, usually the engineers are keeping me right on track with all the buttons, dials, and gauges that I have to deal with. But it is quite a wild board to try to take control of and keep it all going.
We need to tell people that this is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and worldwide at KSCO.com.
MZ, I want to wish you Merry Christmas. I want to wish all of our listeners Merry Christmas, and I think it's best said to say you're listening to the biggest little radio station on the West Coast of America.